Let's pray. Father in heaven, how lovely is your dwelling place, and what a privilege and joy to be in the place where you promise to dwell, to be in your presence as your people. Father, we ask for your blessing upon your word. Let it be joyful to us and comforting, encouraging. Let it challenge us to press on in our daily walk and our Christian life, to press on in the grace and the power of Jesus Christ, who has led the way for us and who has given us this joyful life, who has even made it possible for us to come into your presence without terror of soul, but we can come as children, we can come welcomed, we can come as those who are at home here in your presence because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. So bless your word, bless the name of Jesus Christ, exalt him and magnify him in all the world, and let the gospel do its work again today. We thank you, Father, for the merciful privilege of being able to spread the word of God around the world, throughout the nation, in our community. Bless those who hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to Psalm 84 as we consider the psalmist longing and fainting in his soul for the courts of the Lord, and as we share in that longing and fainting in our souls as well, something that God has mercifully answered for us today, and we hope to be able to gather together as a whole congregation in due time as well, that the Lord may grant that privilege to all of us. But in the meantime, we give thanks to him for this privilege of knowing God and coming into his presence and having his word. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have not quite been in exile, although some of our experience recently maybe feels a little bit like that. We have certainly been providentially hindered from coming into the courts of the Lord. We have been providentially hindered from gathering together, and not only on Sunday for worship, but in other areas of life as well. Society, socially, we have been sort of upended in many different ways, and it's all new, and now it's sort of becoming a new normal, and it's still uncomfortable. It's not quite right. And even today, some of our members are still providentially hindered and cannot come. And we do want to remark on that a little bit this morning as well. Our brothers and sisters can't be with us. Some of them cannot be here. And so we should pray for them as well, that they cannot enjoy what we are presently enjoying coming into the courts of the Lord. And we pray that soon all of this will be behind us and we can be gathered again. joyfully as the body of Jesus Christ. And yet we also know that God is everywhere present with us. So our brothers and sisters who can't be with us today are not without the Lord, they are not without the Spirit, and they are not without the Lord's Word. But we do miss them. And we missed each other. We've missed each other, have we not? I've missed this. You look better than chairs. Smiles, faces, some interaction. I mean, I'm doing all the talking and you have to sit and listen, but I know you're listening. When I stare at the camera, I don't know if you're listening. I mean, I trust you are listening, but it's not the same. I miss this. We miss this. Those who can't be here, they miss this. And we miss them. I'm a little more comfortable looking up now. So we miss you. We miss you. We miss singing praises to God together. Isn't this wonderful, the singing? And you sing so well. And the music is beautiful and wonderful and it's played so well. We have wonderfully talented pianists and other musicians who have helped us in these last number of weeks. But to be here in the flesh, to hear it, to see it, to sing it together, we miss that. We miss greetings from the Lord and benediction. I don't know if that meant a lot to you, but it means a lot to me to be able to raise my hands again. It really does. To say in person and in the flesh, the Lord bless you. The Lord give His grace to you and His peace to you. God greets you. And at the end of this, He's going to send you off with His word of promise as well. God speaks to us when we're in church. And the thing that we've missed all along, and boys and girls, you probably have other things that maybe you missed as well about coming to church. You miss seeing your friends. Maybe you miss Sunday school and catechism. But the thing that we miss the most by not being able to come into church is that this is where God has promised to be. 1 Kings 8, when Samuel or Solomon dedicates the temple, he says, "Your name is there." God promises to be here in our midst, and we have the privilege of coming into His presence and knowing His smiling face and knowing His pleasure that He takes in His people. And we can do that because of what Jesus has done for us in making the way. He's the one who ascended the hill of the Lord, whose hands are clean, whose heart is clean and pure, and He has made the way. So we get to come into God's presence today and on the Lord's Day, and we're not afraid of God's wrath and terror. We know Jesus has reconciled God to us by the blood of His cross. We know that Jesus is laying before the Father His righteousness and our names. And so we're welcomed. And we have joy and we have real peace to come into the presence of God. God is not filled with wrath against us, even though our sins deserve it. But He looks upon us, as the psalm says here, with favor. He looks upon us as the house of Jacob, as the chosen of Zion, as those that He has loved from eternity and will love throughout all eternity for the sake of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with joy, we come with excitement, we come with gladness. Our souls long, faint for the courts of our mighty God. First of all, this morning we long for praise, and the psalm opens with this in the first two verses. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." We long to praise the living God. We praise Him for His might. He's the God of hosts. Lord Sabaoth. He is powerful, almighty. There is nothing that He cannot do according to His holy will. We praise Him for being just and righteous and satisfied with Christ's sacrifice. Look at verse 3. It mentions the altars. The altars are where we feel at home. The sparrow finds a home. The swallow finds a nest for herself. Well, where do we find a place? at the altars of the Lord. Why? Because there's sacrifice that is made there. And it isn't just the sacrifice of goats and bulls and rams and so forth. It's the sacrifice of God's own Son. And we're at home there. We praise God for that salvation. We praise God in this psalm as our King, the one who rules with a righteous and holy law. We praise God for choosing us as Zion, as His special people. What wondrous grace to be known as the people of God or the children of God. We're not left as orphans, but we have a belonging and a place. We praise God for answering prayer. If you look at verse 8, "Give ear, O God of Jacob, hear my prayer." The fact that we're gathering this morning is an answer to our prayers. We've been praying for this. We've been praying for this providential hindrance to be taken away so that opportunity could be given again for us to come into the house of God. And He's answered it. There's more to come, we trust, so we'll keep praying, but He's answering our prayers. We praise Him for His gracious protection in verses 9 and 11. God is our shield. He is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. We also praise Him for His goodness. No good thing, verse 11, does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Our needs are met. And what God gives us and grants to us is in His goodness. He knows exactly what you need and how you need it and when you need it. He's the God who provides. So we praise the living God. By faith we know the Lord, and we have true joy in the Lord's worship, in the Lord's house, in the Lord's Son, and the Lord's ways. My heart and flesh sing for joy. So that is one of the things that we've missed. Our hearts have been singing for joy and in praise to the Lord, but perhaps you haven't used your voice in a few weeks. Your flesh hasn't sung, but now it does, because we're gathered again in the company of Zion, in the company of those who are beloved of the Lord, and we can exercise that part of our bodies, our voice, we can sing the praises of God. It's good to hear each other sing. It's good to be embodied in worship, being physically present, because you've noticed that also in the last few weeks. As much as we are blessed by the mercies of God to have online services, it's not the same. And it never can be the same. Because we're a people who aren't just saved in our souls, we're a people who are saved soul and body. Jesus didn't just give up His soul for our salvation, but His body also. God made us this way. We are His image bearers, body and soul. So to be physically present and to physically sing and to do these things in the body, it's right and it's good. And we're familiar with it because of God's mercies and His grace. It's something that we miss. And so now that we have it again, we give thanks to the Lord for this. Our souls also long for rest, secondly. And perhaps this is a greater joy to us now in our present circumstances. Stress levels are still pretty high, aren't they? Things are not normal. There's a lot of different fallout sort of things with this virus. The implications are far and wide, far further and wider than we've ever seen anything like this. Okay? There might be some similarities we could draw between this virus and other viruses, but certainly the common cold doesn't have this kind of an economic impact. The flu doesn't produce this kind of social impact. We don't have cities locked down over other viruses. We've never seen this before. So the stress levels can run high. There's anxiety, there's fear, there are doubts. There's a lot of uncertainty. Perhaps you still feel a little bit like the wandering of Lamentations 3. You remember that from 8 weeks ago when we started in all of this? The wanderings. We're not at home yet. We're not at rest in all of this. We're unsettled. Things are not the way that they should be. The things that we had hoped for are maybe now totally changed. There are still things that we're hoping for. Some of us have stopped making plans because we're just not sure what the news is going to be next week. We feel like we're wandering. And then there's still, of course, lots and lots and lots for us to do and to figure out and to get straight, because we're trying to develop some kind of normalcy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. But we get to rest today. We get to come into the house of worship and rest. Rest from our daily labors. Rest from our sins. And maybe you've seen a restlessness in these last weeks as well in your heart. You've asked your soul, "Soul, in what or in whom do you find joy?" And some of those answers are not the right answers. They're not the good answers. Some of our joys have been overturned as well, because really what we've been doing is we've been putting trust and hope, and we've been searching for joy in things of this world, and now they are helpless too, just like we are. In whom is your real joy? In what do you place your true joy? Verses 3 and 4 of our psalm point us in the right direction. Again, the altars of the Lord of hosts. God is our King and my God. Notice that. My King, my God. Very personal. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Our joy is in the living God. Our peace is in the living God. Our hope and trust is in the living God. It's the best thing about Sunday. To know, to come into the presence of the living God, to put our sins at rest, to pray, "Holy Spirit, put my sin to death," to come under the Word and its instruction and put that sin to death and turn away from it, or to rest today as well, not just only from our sins and not only from our daily labors, but to rest from a noisy, busy world. It's not like the world got any less busy. I mean, certain aspects of it have, but there's still so much coming at us. We still have to go about our daily responsibilities, but now it just becomes a little bit more difficult. There's a few more thorns and thistles to deal with in working with the soil and working with our work and our labors. It gets harder. It gets harder. We need rest, and we love to have rest. Restful, holy work of worship. Rest from the world and getting a taste today of the eternal inheritance of Jesus Christ, that eternal rest that Jesus has waiting for us. When we're going to be in God's presence, the living God, not just temporarily, but forever, and there will never be any sort of hindrance whatsoever then for us to come before the Lord. The psalm sets before us a wonderful picture, and it's a high, lofty picture. These are big things to contemplate, and we fall so far short of this psalm. But don't be discouraged in that. Take this psalm and set it before you as a goal. Set it before you as a challenge. And then ask yourself, in the light of these words, is that my true joy? Is that my true rest? To be in the presence of the living God and to know Him through Jesus Christ. Our souls long for mercy. Verses 6 and 7, the valley of Baca, which becomes a place of springs. Literally, the valley of thirst. It's a dry and thirsty land. You look around you in that valley and there is no hope to be found in the valley. This is the kind of valley where you get that picture. There's a tumbleweed that passes by, and then there's some dead tree that's probably been dead for 100 years. It's just rotting away in the sun. The vultures are circling overhead as you walk through. It's a desolate place. Well, that's what life looks like when you don't have God. Because anywhere you'd look, if you don't have the Lord and don't know Him, there is no hope around you, and there certainly isn't any within. It's a dry and thirsty land. But not when the Lord is with you. Has the Lord not strengthened your faith even in these last 8 weeks, despite the difficult circumstances? Has the Lord not been with you in marvelous, wonderful ways? Have you not seen the mercies of God new every morning and His compassions that never fail? Just because we've been providentially hindered from coming into the house of the Lord doesn't mean that God has turned His back on us. You might be seeing the Lord's work in your life in more concrete ways than you saw before. Because He's there. So let it be a dry and thirsty land. Let the vultures circle overhead. God isn't going to let go of you. He hasn't. He's not going to. He loves you. He cares for you. He has mercy for you. He makes that dry, thirsty land a place of springs. There's pools gathered. You can't gather up all the mercies of God. We have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and all of His fruit. And I think about the fruit of the Spirit, you know the list in Galatians 5. But there's four of them that stand out for me in our present circumstances, things we need: peace, patience, self-control, we always need self-control, faithfulness. Have you found it difficult to serve God without a regular Sunday? I felt that a little bit. You feel the temptation, on the one hand, to sort of make Sunday sort of a second Saturday because it's not a normal day. We didn't come for worship. It's difficult to set that apart. But even more than that, our lives tend to be marked by the Sundays as Christians. We look forward to the one coming. We live out of the one that is behind us. It marks the week. It bookends our life. We live between those Sundays, and we haven't had them in a normal way. The whole pattern of the week gets off, and maybe we're getting a little bit more adjusted to it now that we've been doing, but certainly the first few weeks, just off and strange. Peace, patience, faithfulness, self-control. Or the mercies of online sermons. Christ has not left us without His Word. And we've still had each other too. Many, many mercies have come through our brothers and sisters, through you, through your gifts, through your strength, your words of encouragement, for stopping by and talking on the driveway, if that's what it took. But you did it. You developed your own curbside food drop-offs and things like that. Called each other on the phone. Maybe you did some stuff online with video conferencing or FaceTime. Wonderful. We developed ways, we found ways around our present circumstances still to have fellowship with each other, and that has been a mercy for us as well. When we come into the courts of the Lord, we are reminded, as verse 11 says, of His grace in Jesus Christ. We have favor and honor through our Savior. Salvation, full and free in Christ. Redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Favor and honor because of Jesus Christ. He's a Son and He's a shield. Jesus is a Son that has given us light and life, just like the sun does. And He's a shield who protects us from our enemies, just like a shield would work. Jesus is both of those things for us, spiritually speaking. And because He knows us, and because He came in the flesh, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. He knows your needs, He knows your circumstances and your suffering and sorrow, and there He is with you in every step of the way. 1 Corinthians 3 reminds us not to boast in men, but also it reminds us everything belongs to us because we belong to Jesus Christ and Christ belongs to God. Favor and honor the Lord bestows on you for the sake of Christ. What a mercy to know that. What a mercy to be people who are at home in the courts or the house of God. If you're an adult and you go back and visit your parents, you still feel at home in that home that you grew up in, don't you? And you certainly feel at home in your own home. And boys and girls, you'll experience that someday as well. You probably do feel at home a little bit in your grandparents' house as well. But later, when you get older and you go back and visit your parents, you're going to feel at home in the home in which you grew up. It's comfortable. It's familiar. You remember the love and the mercy and the life that you had there. That's how the house of God is supposed to feel to us as well. This is a house of mercy. This is a place where the Lord bestows honor and favor for the sake of Christ. This is where we're reminded of the good news of the gospel and what Jesus has done. We are loved here. We belong here. This is our home, temporally, but it is a home. Let it be a joyful one for us. So we cry out to Almighty God, have mercy on us, O God, sinners that we are. Have mercy on us for the sake of Christ. Have mercy on us in all of our sorrows and our struggles. Have mercy on us in all of our perplexing questions. Have mercy on us. We depend upon you for every daily need. Have mercy on us in all of our weakness. Have mercy on us that we may worship you in gladness. And then lastly this morning, our souls long for blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What a word of blessing and promise. Again, given to us because of everything that was taken from Christ. The Lord bless us because he cursed Jesus in our place. The Lord keep us because he cast Christ out. The Lord give us peace because Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. The Lord cause his face to shine upon us because he didn't answer his son. The Lord be gracious to us because he punished Jesus. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us because Jesus was forsaken. See, that blessing comes to us through our high priest and what he did for us. And for us to hear the living God speak through his word is a great joy to us. And then to be able to reply to him together. Again, that's something that we've missed about worship on Sunday, is that dialogue. Boys and girls, God speaks to us through his word. It's God speaking through the word. To tell you about his promises, to tell you how much he loves you, to tell you that you belong to him by his grace. And we get the privilege to answer back through our singing, through our praying, through our listening, through our giving of offerings. We speak back to the Lord and we give our yes and our amen and we give our praise be to God. And we exalt his holy name in all of those things. But it's a dialogue. It's a conversation. We come into his holy presence and he speaks to us and we reply. That goodness of God, it cannot be matched. It's a true privilege. And we can look at all of the parts of worship and we can say the same things about all of them. There's no throwaway part of our worship service. There's no part of the worship service where you're like, yeah, that's kind of just like a lesser thing or a smaller thing. Every part of it is important because every part of it is either God saying something to us or us saying something in reply to the Lord. It's as important as any part of any other conversation that you've ever been in. So whether it's the reading of God's law or the assurance of pardon or our doxology at the end or even just the giving of our offerings. You know, the giving of the offerings maybe seems like kind of one of those low spots in the worship service where you're not really doing much. Oh, but you are. You're giving gifts to God and you're saying, thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for the life you've given. Thank you for daily bread. May you be praised in the giving of these gifts. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Verse 10. Is this your confession as well? It's a difficult one. Is Sunday spent in church worshiping God, resting from work, resting from sin? Is the festive day of rest better to you than 1,000 days somewhere else? 1,000 days fishing. 1,000 days hiking. 1,000 days in the mountains or in the prairie, 1,000 days playing ball, 1,000 days running, 1,000 days relaxing, 1,000 days reading, 1,000 days of vacation, 1,000 days of family time, 1,000 days of playing with your toys, 1,000 days of building something, 1,000 days of swimming or boating, 1,000 days of working. Or you name it. What's your best day? Someone were to ask you, what is your best day? What do you want to do today? Sky's the limit. What do you ask for? Is the Lord's Day in the courts of God better than 1,000 of those best days? It's quite a confession. It's quite a declaration. Are you so eager for the house of the Lord today that you'd rather be one of the door openers that greeted you this morning and then have to stand in the foyer out there and just sort of peek in every now and then, but at least I'm here? Would you say that this morning? I'd rather be still holding the door open and standing out in the parking lot, but at least still being able to hear God speak in His Word. I'd rather have that, at least that, than all of the pleasures and treasures of the world. Because that's the contrast that's given here in this psalm. To be in God's tents, the tabernacle, His dwelling place, or the tents of wickedness. Would you rather have one day in the courts of God, one day in church, one Sabbath day, than 1,000 days of living like the world? Because it's tempting. The world is tempting. The world looks like they're having just a fine time for the most part. And maybe not so much in the last few weeks, but normally, yes. They don't seem to have cares and troubles. Life goes well. They seem to have lots of money. They seem to be happy. And indeed, a lot of them do a lot of the things that we do. But they don't seem to suffer much at all. Are you tempted by a life like that? Are you tempted to live a life that where you get every best day you've ever been looking for, but you don't know the Lord? See, that's the hitch, isn't it? That's the key. That's the switch. You can have all of this stuff, the pleasures and treasures of the world, but not the Lord. That's the contrast that the psalm is drawing here. Or just one day in the courts of God, I'd take that over anything. It is quite a confession. It's a high confession. We all fall short of this. We cannot live up to this kind of confession. So the psalm recognizes, and we need to recognize as well, we need to come continually into the courts of the Lord. We need continually to come into the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts, to know His love, to rejoice in Him, to give thanks for the anointed Savior Jesus Christ, to be refreshed with the promised Holy Spirit and His power, and to hear God's Word, so that we might believe that absolutely nothing can satisfy our souls except the living God. Amen. Let's sing.